Welcome to Victory Today. This is Pastor Sam. I'm so glad you joined me on the program. This is our first full week here in the Richmond area on this station, and I want you to know how pleased I am to partner with this radio station to spread the good news of the gospel. We are the Victory Tabernacle Church of God, located 11700 Genito Road, right here in Midlothian, Virginia. And for more information, you can go to our website. That's victorytab.org. Or you can call us at 804-744-8881. When you call that number as an introductory offer, I would love to send to you a book I've written called Changeless Truths for Changing Times. I'll send it to you absolutely free and postpaid if you'll call me now. 804-744-8881. It's just a token of my appreciation. Just to know that you're listening, I want to send it to you. It ordinarily sells for about $10, but I want you to have it free. And I'll send it to you postpaid, but you must call me now at 804-744-8881. In just a moment, I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently from the pulpit of the Victory Tabernacle Church of God. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. It'll inspire you and challenge you to bring your life into complete and perfect alignment with the Word of God. It's my desire to serve the Lord and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and His love. Again, I want to thank you for the privilege of being on this station, and I'm so glad you're out there listening. For more information or to receive my book, Changeless Truths for Changing Times, call me now at 804-744-8881. Remember, that's 804-744-8881. Let's go together now into that service that's already in progress, and the power of God is moving. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now look at verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? If you go back to the first verse, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, he's not talking about just mere intellectual assent, but he's talking about saving faith. He's talking about the kind of faith that is expressed in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But if you're born of God, you are an overcomer. How many of you are born of God? Let me see your hand. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You've trusted in him and you're born of God. One more time, let me see your hand real high. Now give God praise because you're born of God. Now this passage is talking about you. You're seeing yourself in the Word of God today because it says, if you are born of God, you are an overcomer. Point at your neighbor and say, you're an overcomer. Now, Satan obviously feels the end approaching and is hurling his last resources into the battle. This is his attempt to destroy precious souls. He means to launch an all-out attack against the heirs of salvation, and you are on hell's hit list. Did you know that? Satan hates you. That's bad news, isn't it? But here's the good news. Because you are an overcomer, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Because you are an overcomer, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Any enemy that comes against you shall flee from you seven ways, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. Because you are an overcomer, God says in his word that he will always cause you to triumph over the enemy through Jesus Christ. It is the will of God for you to live in victory. Somebody shout victory.
Victory.
Not defeat, but victory. Now, what do you mean by that? 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, overcomer, that you experience the grace of God in every area of your life. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be an overcomer. That which is born of God. You who are born of the Holy Spirit because of your trust in God, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are overcomers. One more time, could you praise God for that? Isn't that good news? Now you say, okay, I believe that, but tell me, why is it that I am besieged by the enemy? Why does he attack me? Well, because God loves you. And if God loves you, Satan hates you. You are the object of God's affection. And you, because you belong to God, you are an avowed enemy of Satan. And he's trying to stop you. I was thinking about the other day, an old song we used to sing back when I was an evangelist. And I'd sing, "Oh, Satan is trying to stop me, but I'm going on anyhow. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my journey now. And when I get there, all my troubles will be gone. And I'm going to walk right in, and I'm going to make myself at home." And we're struggling now. We're on our journey. It's a fight. But every day God has given me victory, and I will make it, and so will you. Amen? But now here's the thing I want you to understand. In order to be an overcomer, you must respond to three lies that the devil tells. Now the devil tells every one of us these three lies, and how you respond to it will determine what happens. Are you ready for that? I hope you'll write these down someplace. Number one, the first lie that the devil will tell you is this. He'll say, only what you see is fact. Only what you see is fact. In the Bible, there was a man by the name of Moses, and God raised him up. He called him on the backside of the wilderness. It's one thing to be in the wilderness. It's much worse to be on the backside of it. Amen? But God knew where he was, and he caused a common ordinary bush to just burst into a heavenly flame. And he shattered the silence of the Midian desert and said, "Moses, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." You ever felt that way? You just needed to take your shoes off? I mean, it's just like, I want to just get my bare feet right down on the ground, because it's like, this is holy ground, amen? And I don't want anything between God and me. And he said, "Take your shoes off. This is a sacred place." He said, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now you got to remember, for 400 years, the children of Israel have been slaves in Egypt. God said, "I'm about to set them free." Isn't it funny how when you pray about something, sometimes God uses you to solve a problem? God uses you to head up a ministry? People know by now, if they come to me and talk about ministry, and they say, "You know, I have a burden on my heart to start a ministry here. I think we ought to start a ministry." That's the way they approach me. "I think we ought to start a ministry." And when they're through, I say, "I think we should too. And you should start it. And you should be the head of it." And everybody was praying, "Oh God, deliver us from Egyptian bondage and slavery and servitude." Even Moses was praying, "Oh God, I have brothers that are back there in Egypt, and they are living under oppression and the tyrannical rule of Pharaoh. Oh God, send somebody." And God says, "All right, I will. I'll send you." Amen. And so Moses ends up going to Pharaoh, and he says, "God has a special delivery message, and here it is, let my people go." And you know how God used one miracle after another, one sign after another, one wonder after another, until finally he brought out the children of Israel. Now God always brings you out to take you in. Somebody said, "I've been in my wilderness experience." Wait a minute, be careful. Don't say something that will expose you. "I'm in my wilderness experience." Do you know why they were in the wilderness for 40 years? The Bible says it was because of their unbelief. It was only a 3-week hike from Egypt into the promised land, and it took them 40 years to get there. You know why? It wasn't that God had to get them out of Egypt. That didn't take but just one night, and God got them out. He had to get Egypt out of them, and it took 40 years for that to happen. Sometimes God has to change us, and the change can be very slow and arduous if we're not careful. I'd rather God to do what he wants to do in my life and get it done. Amen? Touch somebody and say, let's get it done. Today, God can get it done if you'll let him get it done. I sound like Larry the Cable Guy now, don't I? God wants to change you, and he can do it today if you'll let him. Well, God said, okay, I'm taking you out. I want you to go into the promised land. That's your inheritance. And he led them right down to the border of Canaan. And then he sent 12 spies into the land. And they came back with this report. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But here's the problem. Isn't that funny how the problem always seems bigger than the blessing? And said, here's the problem. These people are giants. And they live in walled fortresses. Now watch this. And they said, in their sight. Now why would you care what your enemies think about you? Why would you be concerned about what your enemies think about you unless you're operating in fear? Fear will always make the problem worse. And they said, in their sight. In other words, they're speaking for their enemies now. In their sight, we look like grasshoppers. And 10 of the 12 spies said, forget about it. We can't go in. God says, all right, you're going to go wander for 40 years now. You can't go in, then that's your confession. But there were two, guess who they were? Joshua and Caleb. They were 40 years old, said, we can do it. Let's go. We can take Canaan. Let's go. This is the promise of God. This is the inheritance. And two of the 12 said, we can do it. And for 40 years, God allowed them to wander in the wilderness. Now, in their wanderings, he loved them so much, he took care of them. He gave them water from a rock and bread from heaven, and he took care of them. You know that their clothes actually grew with them? Can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be a wonderful miracle if you people that have school-age children, if their clothes grew with them all four years? Somebody should save me some money. I remember when I was in the fifth grade, and my daddy said, I was tearing shoes up and growing through them. He said, I'm going to fix that. And he bought me some shoes that had steel toes in them. And they were the ugliest shoes I have ever seen. And I thought I would never, because I was going through clothes and shoes. I thought I'd never get rid of them because they were the ugliest shoes and I was so embarrassed. He said, now see if you can tear them up. And I did every morning. After I went on the way to school, I'd kick stuff with them and I was trying to tear them up. I couldn't hardly tear them up. But fortunately, I grew out of them. Amen. But their clothes grew with them and they never wore out. So God took care of them. Even in their unbelief, he still loved them and took care of them. But 40 years later, when it came time for them to go into the promised land, guess who was still on guard? Guess who was still there? Everybody else was dead. 3.5 million of them came out of Egypt, and only two among the original 3.5 million people, only two were permitted to go in, the two who had the faith confession that said God is able, Joshua and Caleb. Now they're 80 years old, but they said, we're still able because God is able, amen. And they went in and possessed their possessions. Be careful about what you say and what you see. Because as a child of God, if you are an overcomer, if you are born again, you're supposed to see the invisible and say the impossible. Come on now, somebody. Is there anybody believes what I just said there? You're supposed to see the invisible. The Bible says by faith, you see what you can't see in the natural. You see the invisible. Faith is the evidence of things you can't see. Amen. And so they went in and possessed their inheritance. Let me tell you another quick story. In the Bible, you have Elisha, who was that prophet that had the double portion, and he had a servant by the name of Gehazi. And the king of Syria got sick and tired of Elisha, and he wanted to get rid of him. He wanted to put him out of his misery. And so he said, let's send an army down there with chariots and armed soldiers that can go get him. Because everywhere else we say he's there, and we go over there and he's not there. He's just kind of been moved by God. And so the only thing I know is just get this huge army and go down there and get him. And so one morning at the headquarters, they've surrounded him, and there are all these soldiers and chariots and horses, and they've surrounded him in the night. So Gehazi, his servant, gets up, opens the door, walks out on the porch, and he says, oh my goodness. He goes back in there and said, excuse me, Elisha, but I would like to tender my resignation. I'd like to quit this morning because there's a whole army out here and they intend to kill us. And I believe that Elisha got up, wiped the sleep out of his eyes, and walked out on the porch and started laughing. He said, oh Lord, would you let my servant see what I'm seeing right now? And Gehazi all of a sudden saw the same thing the man of God was seeing, because he didn't just see the soldiers that were sent by the king of Syria. He saw the host of heaven, angels with flaming fire, flaming swords, and they had filled the mountain. And he said, Lord, let him see that there are those who are with us and they're more than those who are against us. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about, seeing the invisible. And then you begin to say the impossible. Sometimes you got to see something in the spirit before you can say it. What does the Bible say that we're supposed to do? Well, it says if you're weak, say, you know, I'm so weak and pitiful, I can't do a thing. What are you supposed to do? Let the weak say, I am strong. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. How forcible, Job said, are right words. In Mark 11, Jesus said, you can have what you say. Amen. Now, folks, listen, I'm not talking about foolishness here, because there's some people that think they can just decree a thing. I see this on Facebook all the time. I decree that you will have more money this week. I decreed right back to him. I said, I decree if you get an extra job, you'll have more money. Amen. Everybody wants to decree a thing. I decree something. Now, I'm not talking about foolishness, because as hot as it is, and how many of you know it is hot? Man, every day I get up, I say, thank you, Jesus, I'm not going to hell. Amen. Because this is hot enough for me right down here. 100 degrees in the shade. Man, and humid. You know what I'm talking about. It's hot. What if I decreed a thing and said, I don't want it to be hot. I want it to snow. I decree that it's going to snow. Well, how foolish is that? If it snows in July, we're all in trouble. It ain't going to work that way. Amen. God has set up. And by the way, I've changed my outlook on some things. I now believe in climate change. I believe that it changes about September. And it'll change again over about December. Amen. And in the spring, it'll change again. And come summer, it'll change again. That's what I call climate change. God's got that all handled. I don't have to worry about that. And I need to send an email to Al Gore and let him know it's all covered now. By the way, when Al Gore was born, there were 130 glaciers, 130,000, excuse me, 130,000 glaciers in the Arctic Circle, 130,000. And now he's older than I am. Guess how many there are? 130,000. That's a fact, folks, okay? So I'm not going to preach about that. I'm just going to tell you, God's still God all by himself. He doesn't need any help, amen? Glory to God. So you got to see something in the spirit, and then you can say it. Now, what are you supposed to say? Say this. Don't say anything else. Say this. Say what God said. You say what you say, and it may be wrong. But when you say what God says, it's always right. 750 years before Christ was even born in Bethlehem's manger, Isaiah said, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. I can say what God says. And when God says something, that's what I'll say. Listen, I'm saved not because I say so. I'm saved because God says so. Turn around and tell somebody, say, I'm saved because the Word of God says I am. I acted on the Word of God. I did what the Word of God says. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Somebody said, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I heard Denzel Washington speaks in tongues every Sunday down there in the West Angeles Church of God in Christ in LA. And that's why I believe it's a valid experience. Long time before Denzel Washington or any other celebrity got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, God said in his word, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. What happened on the day of Pentecost has been repeated down through the centuries. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I have a news flash. Jesus has been glorified. The Holy Ghost has been given, and God is still pouring his Spirit out. Somebody said, I'm claiming my healing because so-and-so got healed and they got a wonderful testimony. Thank God for their testimony. They got healed. But before there was a testimony, there was the word of the Lord that says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. I thank God for your testimony. It's a blessing. But before you had a testimony, we had the word of the living God. Hallelujah. And you just need to find out what God says and then say it. Somebody said, well, I'm so glad that people are now starting to realize that you don't have to be poor to go to heaven. Oh, I know that. And yet some of the most miserable people I know are people that got money and nothing else. But I'm glad that I read in this, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I'm so glad I read where he's El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient God. He's the God who's more than enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to say what he says. And just because you see something in the natural, that doesn't mean that it's a fact. God can turn it all around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, say, I'm going to see the invisible. I'm going to see the invisible. So the first lie the devil will tell you is just what only what you see is fact. Here's the second lie. Failure is always final. Failure is always final. How many of you have ever failed? Let me see your hand. Those of you that didn't raise your hand, come up here. I want to pray for you to get saved this morning. Because you're telling a big fat lie and you know it. I failed. In fact, I'm pretty good at it, to be honest with you. It's easy to fail, isn't it? And we've all failed and we're subject to. But let me tell you something. If you fall, don't let that be the last thing you do. Get up and get up and get up and get up and get up again. If you're knocked down 100 times, get up 101. Amen. Some of these people think, well, I don't want to get into the fight. Listen, it's not getting in the fight that's wrong. It's not even getting that knocked down that's wrong. It's when you don't get back up that it's wrong. You can't quit. God didn't quit on you. Don't quit on him. You know, David was one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. He failed. He failed big time. David failed big time. And he was standing on his roof. And he saw a woman taking a bath. Now, two things are wrong with that. Why was David a peeping Tom in the first place? And secondly, what in the world was she doing taking a bath outside so he could see her? I kind of think something was going on there. And he said, wow, I need her. I want her. And the next thing you know, she's married, but he said, she's going to be mine. And he messed up. Listen, folks. God has blessed you. You need to learn how to be happy with what you got. Somebody said the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Not if you water the grass, it ain't. Amen. You just need to learn to appreciate what God has given you.
I'm breaking into the program right now to pray with you. Will you believe God with me as I pray? Heavenly Father, I come to you for everyone listening to my voice right now. Save every lost soul. Fill every hungry believer with your Spirit. Set the captives free. Deliver those who are bound, oppressed, and tormented by Satan. And Father God, I'll give you the glory and praise and honor for it all. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Praise God. I believe God heard my prayer, and I want to hear from you. please call me now at 804-744-8881. That's 804-744-8881. When you call, I want to send to you absolutely free and postpaid a book I've written called Changeless Truths for Changing Times. Changeless Truths for Changing Times. This is our first full week on this station, and I'm offering this to you as a token of my appreciation. Thank you for being there. Thank you for listening. I want you to have it absolutely free. Again, the number to call is 804-744-8881. That's 804-744-8881. I'm inviting you to join me every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock right here at Victory Tabernacle. The last Sunday of every month, we have an additional service at 6 p.m. in our chapel. We call it a miracle service. During the week, you can find us here in the middle of the week at on Wednesday night in our family enrichment night service, where we have something special for every age group and every member of the family. I'm inviting you to join me January the 6th through the 8th for 3 days of prayer and fasting. We're pushing the plate back and believing God for miracles. If you need a miracle, you can call us now, and we will pray for you during those 3 days. The number to call is 804-744-8881. For more information, go to our website. That's victorytab.org. Victorytab.org. Again, for more information about this ministry, all you have to do is call us at 804-744-8881. And when you call, request my book, Changeless Truths for Changing Times. We'll send it to you right away. Thank you for joining me today on the program. Till we're together again, just like this, around the Word of God, I want you to remember the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Victory!